Welcome, everybody, back for the football segment here at the Boardman Quaker Steak and Lube. Glad to be with you, and nice turnout of Penguin fans here tonight coming off the big win on Saturday, 56-17 over Robert Morris. Bob Hennon alongside the head coach of the Penguins, Doug Phillips. Our engineer, Mike Ordo, is pleased to be here. Our second half of the show, we'll be talking to Penguin quarterback Bo Brungard and linebacker Karsten Marshall. At the end of the show, our sideline reporter, Anthony Romo, will join me. But I think we'd be remiss, Doug, first, not to give a shout-out to my broadcast partner, Steve Leslie. Now, yep. Steve was not with us last week on the show, missed the game Saturday, and not with us tonight. Steve dealing with a health issue, pretty serious health issue. He's in the hospital. He had some surgery yesterday. The prognosis is very good, but we miss him, and Steve will not be on the broadcast Saturday at Michigan State, but we hope to have him back this season. So our thoughts and prayers with Steve for sure, Coach.
It is, and just hope, you know, healthy recovery, and love to see him back with us.
Yeah, he's a big part of Youngstown State Athletics, not only the football program, but his commitment to YSU men and women's basketball. All right, Coach, let's start with the obvious. 56-17. I think one of the obvious is, we'll get to Bo in a minute, 8 possessions, 8 touchdowns. That's efficiency. And I know coming off the first game, it was like, oh, you know, how are we going to score? How do we only put up 24 against Mercyhurst? Well, we were really sharp. Can you talk about our execution in that game?
Yeah, probably just starts in the week and putting a plan together, and thought the offensive staff put a plan to get other guys involved, not just 12. You know, we know what 12 can do, but – you know, you saw touches go to Flash Wilson and try to get our running game going and get the ball to number 4 and get the ball to number 3. And, you know, you only play with one ball, so, you know, you try to get as many touches as you can and trying to keep them off balance. I think we did that with tempo and huddle, know when to go fast and, you know when to huddle. And I thought they did a tremendous job, and we were able to execute and score. I think we're 6 of 6 in the –
in the red zone.
In the red zone. Right. So, again, those are things. But, you know, you watch film. And I'll say this. When you lose, sometimes you're not as bad as you think. And when you win, you turn on the film. There's a lot of areas our guys still know. There's a lot of areas we need to improve upon. And you can watch it offensive film and still see where we need to get better. And that's what's fun about football, is we get a week starting tomorrow with a Tuesday practice to get a lot better than we were last week.
You know, I talked to Mike Jurcich, your offensive coordinator, prior to the start of the season. Mike, successful offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. He worked with great quarterbacks there. Mason Rudolph, who's in the NFL. He worked with Justin Fields at Ohio State. He's been at Penn State. He said, it's going to take some patience. We're not going to show everything the first game, and probably not the second game. Is it just evolving? And it felt like you did more this game. Will we even do more this week?
Yeah, and I think our defense – saw it all spring and all camp, and then you get in a game and you're trying to find, okay, what can we do this week? What do we do well? What works against the defense we're going to go against? And it was on purpose that we put so much in, and now you're just drawing from that menu and seeing what works each and every week.
Let's talk about Bo. You know, set a Missouri Valley Conference single-game rushing record, 264 yards. All-time Youngstown State quarterback rushing record. He's third all-time at Youngstown State. Dick Apati in 1966, 304 yards against Southern Connecticut State. And the great Marcus Mason in 2006 against Western Illinois ran for 266. Now, I was here when Marcus Mason played. I've been here a long time. I wasn't here when Dick Apati played, okay, in 1966. But Marcus Mason was one of the great running backs in Youngstown State history. Spent some time in the NFL. Bo goes for 264. Could you have, and let's be realistic, he could have gone for well over 300. And you did the right thing. You got the other guys in there. Did you ever imagine that you could see him run for those kind of numbers?
Not on 10 carries.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, it's the 10 carries that was pretty remarkable there. And, you know, we know what he can do with his legs, and we're going to continue. We know we can throw the ball, too. And I thought we were very effective throwing the football Saturday, you know, for a half. I forget, you can look at the stats, what he was throwing. But, you know, being able to true dual threat, you know, quarterback, where, you know, some of it was designed, you know, the one touchdown, I think it was a counter where, you know, we're able to run right up the A gap with him. And others is, you know, sometimes protection may break down or he gets on the perimeter and he has the option, hey, I can throw it here. But sometimes I feel he sees things where he sees a lot of green grass and says, I can throw it, but I can also run and not get touched.
Obviously, he's very fast, but he's strong. He looks physically stronger this year, is he?
I tell my strength coach, I don't need to see 550 pounds on my quarterback's back squatting or doing reps of 350, for reps of five, is he stronger? He's been strong, one of the strongest young men in our weight room. And, if we wanted to keep building him up, we could probably throw the weight on him and he'd keep, lifting, But, sometimes with quarterbacks, there's a point where he's good right where he's at.
Yeah, talking with head coach Doug Phillips, Penguins go to 2-0 with the win over Robert Morris, 56-17. Just a few minutes, we'll look ahead to Michigan State on Saturday. A couple other things to touch on. You mentioned, and we'll continue on quarterbacks for two more thoughts. You mentioned throwing the ball 12 of 16, 122 yards and a touchdown. Very efficient numbers, very effective. And we're going to need that as we get into league play and we play Michigan State. Those teams are going to do everything in their power to take away his run game. Those are good numbers.
They are, and I told the offense this morning, though, but the thing I'm most proud, because you watch these games, I don't care what game you're watching, you see the ball on the ground. And to know that, through the first 2 weeks of the season, our ball security's been at zero. We haven't put the ball on the ground. We haven't thrown an interception. Those things come, and our defense knows when those things come, we're going to step up, and we know those mistakes are going to occur, but just the way we've been able to protective football, I give our whole offense, a lot of kudos for that.
And I didn't know what to expect, a backup quarterback. I know there wasn't experience. We really were uncertain there. But I thought Devin Sherwood, 8 of 8, 47 yards, a long of 19. Devin played at Austintown Fitch High School, set all kind of records. Went to Virginia, Fairmont State, back here at Youngstown State. I thought he accounted himself well. Your thoughts?
Probably first game reps for him.
Yeah.
In a long time, and to go in and it seemed like the game came to him, and probably a little bit different in practice, so it made you feel more comfortable. Hey, he's all right. He sees things. He's gonna, we got to work on the operations and just making sure with the time clocks. There's so much a quarterback needs to know when it comes to pass protection. Then you got a clock you got to look at, and you got to get guys lined up, and you got to shift, and you got motions, and then you got to do your job. So there's a lot, but I was really happy to see what he did, and I was glad that we had the opportunity, because we haven't had too many opportunities where we're able to get other guys in the game, young guys in the game, that early in a football game in the third quarter.
Running backs, Jaden Gilbert, 5 carries, 48 yards, and 9.6 per carry. Tahir Mills, again, 6 carries, 36 yards, 6 yards per carry. And T.C. Caffey comes in late, 3 carries, 31 yards. Caffey, for those who don't know, a transfer from Ohio State, played at Hubbard. Your thoughts on the backfield and the running game?
Yeah, doing great. I think Antoine Gardner got his
first
touchdown.
Yeah, that was nice.
Niles McKinley, and Tahir Mills got his first touchdown as a Penguin. So, again, you're trying to get as many young men involved with the offense, because we feel we do have threats. And, that's the challenging part, different personnel groupings, whether you go 2 running backs in the game at one time, 1 running back in a game, shoot, we might put 3 in the game at one time. So you're just finding ways to get some playmakers the opportunity to touch football.
Another formation that you run, which looks rather unique, is when you put two – they're tight ends, but you put them both in the backfield with a tailback. So that's usually short yardage. I mean, that's you got a lot of beef back there, right?
It's like the old inverted wishbone.
Yeah, right.
Where it's triple option. You know, where you can hand it off, you can keep it, you can pitch off it. So again, just doing, finding ways to make it difficult to defend us.
Max Tomczak is climbing that record book and continues to,
he set a record. I didn't know.
Yeah.
For consecutive catches.
Right. And he's, I think, third all time now. And he's over, last year he was over 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
And, the numbers keep getting better and better. No, we know we're going to get out of Max. 5 receptions, 69 yards. I want to ask you about Mike Solomon. 4 receptions, 48 yards. He's big. 6'3", 210, senior wide receiver, transfer in. we're going to have to get Max some help. Again, teams will try to take him away. I thought he played really well, but he's big.
Yeah, he is. He gives you a little bit more size there. And, you know, the hardest thing for some of these guys like Mike or Freshwaters we have, they came in June. Mm-hmm. And to learn the offense in 2 months, and, you know, you play fast when you don't have to think. And there's a lot of thinking going on. Where do I line up? What motion do I have? What do I do versus this coverage? So I think Mike, it's finally settling in, and that's where you see him getting more comfortable. Now he don't have to think as much. He can just go play football, and that's where we need the whole wide receiver room to get to for those new guys, because it is a lot of offense. And
There's a lot to it, right? When you come in, you've got a new player, a new coordinator. So it does seem
new language.
Yeah, right.
You know, every time you learn a new offense, it's a new language.
Yeah, let's flip over to defense. Graydon Rollins, 6 tackles, a linebacker out of Elyria, redshirt freshman, 6'1", 220. Boy, he looks like he's going to be something.
You know, and I said it in the team meeting this morning, you know, and our kids probably don't even realize, you know, I said Mike Manna, who played tight end this week, and Graydon Rollins, those are 2 redshirt freshmen that are walk-ons that have continued that legacy, like Max Tomczak, Mitch Davidson. They have come here not on scholarship, and all of a sudden now they started a game for you. So proud of that. And those guys played good. You know, Graydon was able to step up, and we knew what he could do on special teams, and, you know, we had great confidence that he could step in that first half and play for Preston.
You get everything you wanted out of that game as we get set to look ahead to Michigan State in just a few minutes. It just felt really good leaving there. And the other thing, so did you feel like you got all you needed out of it?
Yeah, we did. And, you know, a lot of guys, we put a lot on Alex McDonald and Michael Manna. You know, we had Colt Seacrest and Austin Bray weren't able to play this past Saturday. And those are your 2 starting tight ends. Those are your guys that usually are the point of attack of leading your rushing attack. So for those 2 young men to come in and do what they did, very proud of them.
We haven't had Colt Seacrest yet this year, correct?
No, we haven't.
What about Seacrest and Bray this week?
Yeah, we're questionable.
Okay.
You know, we got to get through the week, and, you know, I think we'll get them back soon, and we hope sooner than later.
When you get into the Missouri Valley Conference, most of the games are close and competitive, and you don't get to play as many guys as you did this week. It was nice to see, because they work so hard, those second and third guys that hope to someday be starters. You played a lot of players. Did anybody step up or come in and you're like, wow, you know, we did, but just in general, to get everybody in, they got, that's a good feeling, isn't it?
Well, we had a scout team player of the game for defense, and it was Bilal Tucker. You know, he's just a 6'4", 330-pound true freshman. And he got in the game, and we know – he's strong.
Right.
I mean, our guys, when he just comes off the ball and gets upfield, he's hard to block. And, you know, I know after the game he came down, I think he hugged the defense and said that was so much fun, you know, being able to get in the game. But, you know, as a coach too, you go home and you're thinking, gosh, I miss getting him in a game. Mm-hmm. I miss getting this guy in a game. When you got 100 and some players – you know, and all of them work. They all have a role. You know, when we talk about complementary football, you know, the guys that prepare you to play on Saturday, those scout team members or guys that just play on special teams, you're finding ways to get them in games, and you always feel like you didn't get enough in. And, you know, those are the things. You know, you don't go into those games saying, oh, you know, we got to be ready to blow them out so we can get some guys in. You know, the game takes over. You know, and all of a sudden you score 40 points in the first half, and we haven't done much of that.
Yeah, 4 penalties, 44 yards. I know you're happy about that, right? Cutting that number down.
We are, just being disciplined. I think the key word this week for defense was being disciplined, and I think, you know, for us on offense, it, you know, was that preparation piece of it. And, you know, special teams, you know, that's one area. Yeah, I was not happy. Hmm. You know, wasn't, you know, you don't punt to the fourth quarter and you got guys on punt that are maybe out of the game, but there's no out of the game. When punt's called, you're back in the game. You know, there's no 2 punt that's going in. And so we didn't execute that good, and fundamentals is our really, you know, what we hang our hat on. So we got to get to work, and we got to fix our coverage teams on kickoff, and we got to fix our punt protection. You know, we feel we have the best punter in the country. Well, we got to do a better job. So that's the challenge that we have this week in our special teams.
Through two games, the size up front is noticeable. Thomas Jolly comes into the program, 305. Colin Vaughn, 285. Cameron Cunningham, 305. That's a big difference this year that compared to last year, the bodies up front, right?
Yeah, and it helps. I'm sure when you talk to Karsten, you know, he likes it. You know, they keep offensive linemen from him, so that allows him to go make a lot more tackles.
Right.
You know, so and those guys depending and counting on them to be in the gaps that they're supposed to be in, so our safeties and our linebackers can fit their gaps and play as fast as they can, trusting that they're going to do the job in front of them. So, no, it's been great to see. And, you know, even our player of the game on defense was Mike Wells, you know, who this week did a little bit different. You know, we played him at defensive end, but had the ability to move back into an odd defense, and he's back in the middle as a linebacker. And how he handled that just, you know, as we continue to work on that package.
So, you know, they run the ball 27 times for 41 yards. If you make a team one-dimensional and you take away their run game or – I mean, that's huge, isn't it? You make them play one-handed, right?
It is, and you know, it always starts. You know, we talk about tough football and what tough football looks like. Tough football is you're able to run the football and you're able to stop the run. That's what toughness is, and you can measure that. You can measure how tough you are by how well you stop the run and by how well you run the football. And that's something that we preach each and every day.
Yeah, talking with head coach Doug Phillips as we're about set to wrap up this first segment. Last thought on, you know, you mentioned Mike Wells. So he comes in as a freshman from Newcastle, highly decorated high school football and basketball player. Maybe doesn't go his way right away. Be easy to pout, easy to quit, easy to transfer. I really appreciate those guys that hang in there. Mm-hmm. I know he's been through adversity, but now he seems to be on the other side. And sometimes if you wait, which is hard to do these days for young men to hang in there, seems like it's paying off, isn't it?
You know, and having stories like him, I had a young man in my office this morning, redshirt friend, Coach, what do you see? I'm like, just be patient. You know, you're still making the mistakes, you know, that a second-year player makes. You're going to be a great player for us. You're going to do a lot of things. But it just – everybody wants things now.
Yep.
And it's a process. It really is. We get young men that, you know, we got to develop. You know, I think Bo can attest to that. His first – it wasn't until year three. I know Karsten can, you know, that it takes time to develop and takes time to learn so that you can play as fast as you can.
We're visiting with head coach Doug Phillips. We're live at Quaker Steak and Lube in Boardman. Our Penguin fans are here. First segment in the books. When we come back, we'll look ahead to the Spartans of Michigan State when we return on 1390 WNIO. We are back, Quaker Steak and Lube in Boardman, our Monday night get-together. It is Penguin Playbook. First half of the season, we're here in Boardman. Second half, we'll move over to the Austintown location every Monday from 5 until 7, talking Penguin football from 6 until 7. As always, the show brought to you by Southwoods Health. Southwoods proud to be locally owned and operated by the Maransky family. And a reminder, our next home game is Saturday, October 4th. We're going to host South Dakota State. It's the conference opener. And we sure hope you'll be there at 6 o'clock. It's a family day. Fans receiving a Penguin Stadium flag courtesy of Panera, Medical Mutual, Pepsi, Varsity Club Youngstown, and WFMJ. It's easy to get your tickets. 330-941-1978 or go to yissuesports.com. Seems like it's a long time until October 4th, but it won't be. So get your tickets for that one. South Dakota State ranked among the top five teams in the nation. Just one of the best programs in the country. Looking forward to that. But right now we're going to talk Michigan State. Coach, after our game Saturday, got home Saturday night, flipping around, watched a little bit of Oklahoma-Michigan, and I was watching Arizona State, Mississippi State, but had a lot of focus on Michigan State. Double overtime win, 42-40 over Boston College. Did you get a chance the Saturday night watch that game?
I did. So great football game, great ending, and, you know, it was – you know, for them, they're coming off a season, you know, where they won five games and made a lot of changes, you know, personnel-wise. But they still have the quarterback back, and he's a great athlete. And to see him run and see him throw, and he's got great receivers, great running backs. And, you know, up front, they're going to be a big physical Big Ten offensive line.
So their quarterback, who you mentioned, Aiden Childs, in the game, threw for 231 yards, 19 of 29 in overtime. Really impressive, 4-4 and 10 of 14 in the fourth quarter. He can also run it a bit. He's yet to throw an interception this season. What can you tell the fans the kind of quarterback we're going to see?
You know, they go under center a lot. Looks like a pro offense. You know, a lot of play action. You know, they run outside zone, inside zone. They may run a gap scheme with counter. But they really set it up by running the football downhill, you know, with a lot of different running backs that can go in there and do a lot of different things. And then, like I said, they got great receivers, you know, Nick Marsh, yep. They got Mari Kelly, they got some good guys that play good football at other colleges that transferred in, and those guys can beat you. So, you know, you're trying to stop the run, but he can throw the ball deep and beat you deep. You know, he threw that crossing route on a two-point yep. play, you know, to win the game against Boston College. So, again, offensively, they do a great job. They can control the tempo of the game by running the football. And, like I said, they have that deep ball threat that we got to make sure we don't let them get behind us.
Penguins, we play at Michigan State on Saturday, kickoff 3:30. So, I've talked to a few of the radio broadcasters from Michigan State, and they feel the biggest upgrade in their football team is wide receiver.
Yeah.
Nick Marsh, you mentioned, a sophomore wide receiver. He had a 41-yard scoring strike, also Amari Kelly. So they're talking about the quarterback improving, but I think a big reason he's improving, they have big-time wideouts now that maybe they didn't have in the past.
Yeah, they do. And big. I mean, Nick Marsh is 6'3", 203 pounds. Amari Kelly is another big receiver at 6 foot, 190. So, again, they got a lot of size there, athleticism. They'll do a lot of seven-man, eight-man protection, knowing that you're coming up, playing the run, getting that maximum. It's hard to get pressure on when they're protecting with
right.
that many, and they're relying on those guys getting on top of your secondary.
And when they do decide to run the football, and they will, Mekhi Frazier, 81 yards, 17 carries. He's just a sophomore, too. What kind of running back are we looking at?
218 pounds, strong. You know, and a lot of things cut back. You know, mm-hmm. They want to get you moving, then they're going to cut that ball back, you know, behind almost where the backside three technique, you know. So they get you moving sideways and then slice you vertical.
Now, they've given up some yards. The quarterback for BC threw for some yards. What about their defense? That was a high-scoring game
yeah.
in double overtime.
Yeah, they went against a pretty good quarterback.
Right.
You know, so, you know, again, defensively, you know, they're going to be big up front, you know, with their defensive line, their defensive end, you know, Jalen Thompson, you know, he's a Cass Tech young man. Their number 43, Malik Spencer, he's kind of the, you know, mm-hmm. stalwart back in their secondary. And they're going to be, you know, their corners are probably going to feel, hey, we can walk up on your receivers and we're gonna suffocate them, and we're going to get a pass rush on Bo, and we're going to load the box because we know our guys can guard your guys. So, you know, we got to be ready to get our guys open if we're going to throw the football.
A battle of 2-0 teams. Last time we went to Michigan State, they jumped on us early. This time,
the flea flicker.
Yeah,
trust me, I don't
yeah.
forget that.
Right from the get go,
and we prepared for that. That's the hard thing when you prepare for something and go over it, and they do exactly what right. you go over, and it still works.
Yeah. Are we better equipped to go in and battle a Big Ten team now? Do you feel like the personnel?
Yeah, nothing against, you know, but depth. You know, again, when you're going against Big Ten team, they got unlimited scholarships. You know, we still have limits, and, you know, they got a lot more scholarship players. But for us, you know, we've been trying to get depth on the offensive line, which, you know, I was happy to see our two offensive line get in there and get 20-some reps on last Saturday and do well. You know, defensive line, we can rotate a lot at linebacker now, you know, with Graydon getting to play a whole half. You know, we got some depth at linebackers. So that's how you got to stay in the game. If you watch Western Michigan, same thing. You know, they eventually they just wear you out. You know, they're going to keep leaning on you until that third or fourth quarter. And now those runs might not be a 4 or 5 yard gain. Now they're turning into 25-30, and that's what we got to make sure, you know, we don't allow.
So we get Michigan State on Saturday coming off a double overtime win. Their next game, I believe, is at Southern Cal. Do you believe in teams coming off a big emotional win could be a little flat or looking ahead? I mean, we're catching them maybe schedule-wise at the right time?
You know, I never look at that. You know, I have enough trying to get our guys ready to play. I can't worry about another team and what their mindset's going to be. For us, you know, I didn't really address it with our team this past week, that how important it was of a game for us on Saturday, because I knew we were going to be on the road for 2 weeks. You know, we weren't going to be back in the ice castle for 4 weeks. And right. to know that you can get a home win, and they're thinking the same thing, you know, that you need home wins. You know you're going on the road to USC. This is critical. Just like our game last week was critical, knowing we got to go on the road, because it's a whole different beast when you go on the road to try to win football games, especially in a hostile environment. And the one thing I saw Saturday, that crowd was loud.
Yep.
That crowd was into that football game, and I think that gave Michigan State an advantage there in the fourth quarter and overtime. I think that crowd willed them to win that football game, and they know the importance of this week for them, knowing they got hit the road just like we are.
Michigan State lost last year at Boston College, where Childs threw three interceptions. So you're right, that was a big game. Their fan base was fired up. Mm-hmm. It's the money game, the so-called money game. Mm-hmm. You go on the road, it's important for FCS teams to get the dollars. You know, our travel was quite expensive, flying everywhere in the conference. How do you like these games?
Yeah, our kids like them. I mean, they're excited, and they get excited to go play in these stadiums. You know, they get to play on grass. We never get to play on grass, mm-hmm. and their grass is like turf. I mean, it's manicured better than any golf course, you know. So, you know, for us, it is a great opportunity, and we enjoy it, and we're thankful for teams like Michigan State that this is the second time in the last 4 years. Ohio State, we're back on there. Kentucky, you know, schools that kind of take care of you. You like getting on that rotation. Yep. So, and we need it to survive. I mean, college football is about who has the most money. And we don't have to worry about having the most money in FBS, but I want to have the most money in FCS.
Exactly.
Because the ones that win in FBS, guess what they have?
They got the cash.
They got the cash. And, you know, for us, we got to set our bar to be the very best in the FCS, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's on the field, whether it's our facilities, and whether it's in money that we can make or raise.
Maybe a better question for Ron Strollo, but I'll ask you, as we look at these matchups, we've played West Virginia, which is great. It's a short trip. We've been to Ohio State. We've been to Michigan State. We've played several Big Ten schools. Is it getting more difficult to schedule them, or do you think we're going to be okay?
It is getting more difficult. You know, some say, well, we got to wait. We got to wait till the Big Ten schedule comes out. With the Big Ten expanding, we did not know mm-hmm. how that was going to work out. You know, the SEC, they'll complain because they got to play one more extra league game,
than the Big Ten. They're adding an extra league game, the SEC. Yep.
And so that hurts. If you're playing an extra league game, guess what you're not playing?
You're not playing a game against an FCS
that
opponent.
You're maybe helping somebody.
In state or something.
Yeah, and I think all those games are important, especially for the lower level FBS. You know, it's a money game for, you know, Mid-American Conference team getting those games too, just like it's, you know, helps us.
You know, I've seen some Mid-American Conference teams play two of those money games. Man, I don't know about that. I mean, you're playing two and you're going into your league, and I know that's money and it's revenue, but I think you're right. The players like these games. Mm-hmm. I think it's good for the program. They're tough to win. We get it, but we've been competitive. We've battled. We've battled Pitt. But in the big picture for us, this is needed, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, our league has shown that there can be upsets. Mm-hmm. And what they do with upsets, you know, if North Dakota beat Kansas State, and this is how the FCS is. If North Dakota beats Kansas State, we could beat North Dakota. We could have a better schedule than them. Guess who's getting in the playoffs?
Probably North Dakota, right?
North Dakota, because they beat Kansas State.
Right.
You know, so you're looking at that game knowing if they get that win, that's almost like three Missouri Valley Football Conference wins or two. That they get the advantage when it comes down to what teams go in the playoffs. And that's always our ultimate goal. It's to be on top of the Missouri Valley and win a championship and make the playoffs.
As we wrap up, the problem becomes for our league, North Dakota lost 38-35. The more we compete and win, they don't want to play us. It gets harder. I mean, when you're scheduling Missouri Valley Conference teams and you're FBS, there's a good chance you're going to be in for a fight.
Yeah. You know, and the level of play, you know, and you look at the guys that are in the NFL, and again, you know, we're proud of the guys we have that, you know, we've had the opportunity to develop them, and we try to get as big as them, you know, and they might be 215 pounds when they come in the freshman, but we eventually get them to 300 pounds.
Yeah, well, Coach, we appreciate it. Good stuff tonight. Speaking of our guys in the NFL, the Missouri Valley Conference had 43 former players on NFL rosters this weekend. That's 43 players from our league on NFL rosters. That's impressive. Coach, thanks. We'll come back and talk with Bo Brungard and Karsten Marshall when we come back on 1390 WNIO.